We are beginning Daf Mem Omid Aleph, the fifth Perek, Hoyu Boitkin. This Mishnah is a continuation to the Mishnayos in the previous Perek, where the Mishnayos began describing the order, the Seder, of a Mishpat of Dinei Nefoshes. And this Mishnah tells us that after the Sanhedrin, after the Bezdin warned and scared the Edom as to the gravity of Dinei Nefoshes, then they began with the interrogation, the Drisha V'Hakira, of each one of the Edom separately. This Mishnah also elaborates on several of the halachas mentioned in the first Mishnah of the previous parak, which had enumerated the differences between Dinei Nefoshes and Dinei Mominis. And this Mishnah elaborates on some of the dinim concerning Dinei Nefoshes. The questions which the Bezdin asks the Edim are divided into two categories. Those that are referred to as Drishas V'Chakiris on the one hand, and Bedikas on the other hand. The Drishas V'Chakiris are in order to establish the exact time and place of the Aveira which they are being made, which they are testifying to. In other words, it's not enough just that they say that this and this took place and the person did an Aveira which is Mechayev HaMisa. We have to ask them also the details of that which is Mechayev HaMisa, as we'll see in our Mishnah, and we have to establish the exact time and place where this took place in order to open themselves up to the possibility of Hazama, so that other witnesses would be able to come and say that you can't possibly be telling the truth and being testified to that Avera taking place because you say that it took place at a specific time and at a specific place. At that time and place, you were with us someplace else. That is how Hazama takes place. And then, of course, we know the Torah gives a punishment, that they are punished with that which they wanted to inflict on the defendant. But Al-Kobon, in order for Hazama to take place, they have to specify a time and place of the Avera. So that is accomplished by the questions that are asked, which are known as Drisha V'Chakira. On the other hand, there are Bedikas, which are questions which concern things which are peripheral to the testimony itself. For example, what was the defendant wearing at the time? What were the physical surroundings like at the time? There's no specific amount of Bedikas which must be asked. Rather, as our Mishnah says, Kol Amar Barei Zeh Meshubach, that the more questions which are asked, that is better, because then it establishes that they are in fact telling the truth. And as we'll see, the Bedikas, since the questions are not so essential to the Edus itself, each one of the witnesses, or both of them, can answer that they don't know the answer to these questions. However, if they contradict one another in the Bedikas, then we say that their Edus is disqualified. So now we'll see the details of this halacha in our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hoyuboykin oison b'sheva chakiris. They used to check them, they used to interrogate them with seven chakiris. Now, of course, this was done, as we'll see in the Mishnah, to each one separately. What are the seven chakiris, the seven questions that they ask them to establish the time and place upon which they are saying their testimony? The Ezu Shavua, the first question was, in which Shemitah cycle of the Yovel did it take place? That's a very general question. Which period of 7 years did it take place? Then Be'ezu Shana, in which year of that Shemitah cycle? Be'ezu Chodesh, in which month? Be'kama B'chodesh, in what date of the month? So we've already established the specific date. Be'ezu Yoim, then we go on to ask which day of the week. Be'ezu Shah, and then which hour of the day. So we ask them these six questions to establish the exact time to the hour, and then we ask them Be'ezu Mokum, where did it take place? Without knowing where it took place, of course, again, Hazama would be impossible. So now we have the exact time and the exact place, so that witnesses would be able to come and say that you can't say testimony on that time and place because you were with us someplace else. Now, Rashi explains the reason why we have to ask them Be'ezu Yoim, which day of the week, even though we've already established Be'kama B'chodesh, which exact date of the month. So, B'chodesh, we have all information without asking them which day of the week this is. Rashi explains, nonetheless, this does make the Hazama somewhat easier, because there may be people who are listening in, who will hear the report of this Mishpat as it is going on, and they will hear that the Edom testified to a specific date, and they may have been with these witnesses someplace else at that time. However, they are not aware of the date. They won't realize that by saying, for example, that it took place at Chof Gimel Shvat, that they will know that, oh, on Chof Gimel Shvat we were with these witnesses someplace else, and they must be lying. They're Edom Zoyimimim. But by mentioning the day of the week, people who may have the capability of being mazim them, of testifying that they were someplace else, will realize that on that day of the week we were with them someplace else. And then, of course, by checking what date it was, they will realize that they are false witnesses, and they will be able to come and testify that they are Edim Zoyimim. So therefore, to make the Hazama easier, we don't just ask them the exact date, but we also ask them the day of the week. So these are the seven chakiris. Rabbi Yossi says that we only have to ask them three questions. Be'eza Yom, what day did it take place, Be'eza Shah, which hour, and Be'eza Mokum, in which place. And this is enough. Now the Mepharshim explained, the Adramah, the Tosis Yontif, that Be'eza Yom is a general question in Rabbi Yossi. It is not the same according to the Chachamim. We asked them seven questions, and one of the questions was, Be'eza Yom, after having established the exact date, we asked which day of the week. Rabbi Yossi, by saying we ask him Be'eza Yom, means we ask him a general question, what day did it take place, and of course we expect him to answer with an exact date, and then we go on to ask him Be'eza Shom, Be'eza Malkum, exactly which hour of the day and which place. So in fact the information which we receive from the witnesses according to Rabbi Yossi is not different from the information that we receive from them according to the Chacham. We also have to know the exact date, the exact hour, and the place in order to open them up for Hazam. The machloikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi is only in the procedure. According to the Chachamim, we go through a process of asking them seven questions. We begin with which Shemitah cycle, which year, which month, and that's how we go on and ask them questions in that order, so that we have a total of seven questions. According to Rabbi Yossi, we don't have to go through this procedure. We'll see in the Gemara why there is a machloikas between them. We don't go through this procedure. We only have to ask them three questions, but the information which we have to receive from them is actually the same. We do have to have an exact date and time and place. So the machloikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi is basically in the procedure and how many questions have to be asked, but the information we have to receive from them is the same. Continues the Mishnah, then we ask them, each one of them, Makirin Atem Oisoi, do you recognize him? Now Rashi learns based on the Gemara that this means we ask the witness, we're speaking about a case where they are testifying to a murder, to a Ritzicha, and we ask, did you recognize that person who was killed, the victim of the murder? Are you sure that he was a Yisrael, and that therefore the Ritzach is Chayav Misa? The Rambam learns that it means, Makir Matem Oisoi, are you sure that you recognize the defendant, that this is in fact the person who did the Aveir? Another question, Hisraisimboy, did you give him Hasra? Did you warn him at the time of the Aveira that he was transgressing the Aveira? As we'll see in the Gemara, there's a Halacha of Hasra, because if there was no Hasra administered at that time, then he is not Mechuyev Misa. Now the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos says that these two questions, Makirin Atem Oisoi, Hisraisimboy, are not counted in the Chakiris, not because they are not basic questions, but to the contrary, they're so basic that these are the Edus itself. If they don't answer these questions, then they haven't actually testified at all that the person is Mechuyev Misa. So these questions are not counted as Drisha V'Chakira, but rather these are making sure that they are actually testifying to the fact that he is Mechuyev Misa. So these questions are very necessary. Rashi B'Pshuto, he seems to be saying that these two questions of Makirin Atem Oisoi Hisraisimboy are counted among the Bedikas. And as we have mentioned, the Bedikas are the peripheral questions that are asked concerning the Edus. And it appears B'Pshuto from Rashi that he's saying that if they would answer we don't know, that it wouldn't matter as long as they don't contradict one another, which is the halacha concerning Bedikas. However, the Achrayim have great difficulty with this. Rashi Ayin and the Rishash, Chazan Ish in Lakutim and Choshe Mishpat on Sanhedrin, Simon Chof Beis, and they both say that it's impossible to learn that way in Rashi. Certainly we can't say that if we ask them a question whether they administered Hasra or whether they know who was killed, whether he's a Yisrael or a Nochri, and the answer they don't know, that we would accept their Edus to be Mechayev this person Misa. They haven't supplied us with enough information about the Aveira to be Mechayev in Misa. And they said that the Lashon of Rashi is difficult, and we can't say that Rashi is saying concerning these two questions that if they answer they don't know that this is good. Rather, certainly we must say, like the Rambam, that if they answer they don't know, then we don't have a full testimony from these witnesses. And as we pointed out, this is a difficulty with Rashi's Lashon. They say perhaps Rashi is referring only to other questions, to Bedikas, but not to these two questions. Then we asked them, Ha'oivet of a Dezor, if it was a case of an Oivet of a Dezor, where they are testifying that a person worships an idol, worship of a Dezor, and therefore he is Mechuyev Misa, we ask the witnesses, Esmi Ovet, which of a Dezor did he worship? Was it Pa'or? Was it Markalis? Ubame Ovet, and with which kind of worship did he serve the Avodah Zarah? Now the Rambam, in the first parak of Hilchas Eidus, Halacha Dalet, says that such questions that we ask them, which we must ask them, are also included in the Chakiris. They are not considered to be Bedikas, where we say that even if they say they don't know, that the Eidus is acceptable. Rather, these are considered to be, have the din of Chakiris. These are questions which they must answer, because they involve, as Lech Mishnah explains, the actual Aveira itself. These are the details of the Aveira. They're saying that he worshipped Avodah Zarah. We have to know clearly which Avodah Zarah he worshipped. We have to make sure that it is truly an Avodah Zarah. Therefore, we have to know all the details. We have to know which Avodah he did. It's not up to them to say a general statement he worshipped Avodah Zarah. We have to question them clearly as to what Avodah Zarah he worshipped. Or, for example, as the Rambam says, if they are testifying that he was Mechal Shabbos, it's not enough to say a general statement he was Mechal Shabbos. We must hear from the witnesses exactly what he did, so the Bezdin could decide whether, in fact, this is a Chilul Shabbos, which is Mechayev Misa. So therefore, as the Rambam says, these are also are considered to be Chakiris, where they must answer these questions, and if they don't, we can't accept their Eidus. And the reason, as we see in the Rambam and the Lechem Mishnah explains, that these are not counted in the Chakiris, the Chakiris are seven, the original seven questions which the Mishnah mentioned at first, is because these questions are not the same for all testimonies. Those seven questions concerning the time and the place are common to all testimonies, whatever Aveira it is. But here, each Aveira has its own questions, its own details, which must be asked. For example, in the case of Avodah Zarah, where it's what Avodah Zarah will worship, in the case of Chilul Shabbos, which Malacha was it? So each one has its own questions, and therefore, since they're not common to all testimonies, they're not counted as the seven Chakiras. But in fact, these kinds of questions, which concern directly the Aveira itself, the details of the Aveira, also are considered to be Chakiras, says the Rambam. Then the Mishnah says, Kol hamarba v'bdikas hareza mishubach, that whoever asks a lot of questions of bdikas, questions which are peripheral to the testimony itself, is praiseworthy. In other words, the more questions asked, questions of bdikas, the better. We ask them what the person was wearing, we may ask what the weather was like, what the physical surroundings were like at the time that this crime, that this Aveira took place. And this is praiseworthy because by asking them a lot of questions, if they are false, if they're not telling the truth, they will get confused, they might contradict one another, and then we will disqualify their testimony. So that is the halacha. On the one hand, we have drisha v'chakira, which is concerning the actual aveira that was done and its time and place. And then on the other hand, we have the dikas, which are peripheral questions, and there is no fixed amount which must be asked, but rather the Mishnah says that one should ask the more the better of dikas. And the Gemara now brings a maisa, how far one can go in asking these questions of the deacons. There was a maisa, Ubarak ben Zakkai bu'ukse ta'enim, that ben Zakkai, the Gemara will say that this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, tested the Eidus by asking them about the stems of figs. And Rashi explains that the Eidim were testifying that a murder took place under a fig tree, and they asked, of course, each one of the Eidim separately, these questions are always asked separately, were the stems of the figs on that fig tree thick or were they thin stems? And they contradicted one another with their answers, and the Eidus was disqualified. So one can go so far in asking questions in the Bedikas. Says the Mishnah, Ma bein Chakiris l'Bedikas? What is the difference between Chakiris on the one hand and Bedikas on the other? Chakiris, in the questions of Chakiris, which are the basic questions and those of the time and place, Echad Oimer Eini Yedea Eidusim Betela. If even one of the Eidim says that he doesn't know the answer, then their Eidus is disqualified. And Rashi adds that not only if there are only two witnesses, but even if there are many witnesses, if one of them says Eini Yedea to any of the Chakiris, then the entire testimony of all the witnesses is disqualified. Bedikas, however, concerning these peripheral questions, Echad Oimer Eini Yedea, if one of the witnesses says he doesn't know the answer, Bafilu Shnayim Oimrim Einanu Yodin, even if both of them say that they don't know the answer to these questions, Eidusim Kayemis, then their Eidus is still upheld. It's a good Eidus. However, Echod Chakiris ve'Echod Bedikas bizman shemakchishin zeh Eidusim betela. Both concerning Chakiris and Bedikas, if they contradict one another, if one of the witnesses says one thing and the other one says the other thing, then their Eidus is disqualified. So concerning Chakiris, we say that they must supply us with the answers, and if not, the Eidus is disqualified. Concerning Bedikas, we say that they can say that they don't know. But if they contradict one another, then we say that Eidusim betela, that their Eidus is disqualified. Now, the reason for this difference between Chakiris and Bedikas, Rashi brings it from the Gemara, is that since the Chakiris involve questions of the time and place, the exact time and place that the crime they are testifying to took place, and this is what allows them, opens them up to Hazama, so the witnesses could theoretically come and say that you can't testify to this because you were someplace else at that time, you weren't in the place about which you were saying the testimony, at that time you were someplace else. Therefore, if they don't answer these questions, this is Eidu Shi'at Yochala Hazima. Their testimony is a testimony which can't come to Hazama. And we learn from the Parsha of Hazama, it says that witnesses are liable to Hazama, that in order to be a kosher witness, they have to be liable to Hazama. And if it's Eidu Shi'at Yochala Hazima, if it's Eidus which can come to Hazama, then we say that the Eidus is not acceptable. As the Oruch Lener and the Chazon Ish explain, they bring from Rashi and Pesachim Daf Yud Beis, that theoretically we could have said that without, for example, saying the hour, it's also Eidus She'at HaYochel HaZima. It is Eidus which could come to Hazama, because the witnesses can come and say that you were with us that entire day. They were saying that it took place at a certain date, a certain day of the week. The witnesses can come and say you were with us throughout that day, and thereby make them into Eidim Zomim. Why do we require, for example, the hour? Or theoretically, even if they don't say the exact day, but they would say which month, maybe the witnesses would come and say that they were with them the entire month. So theoretically, these two could come to Azama. So the Aruch HaNer explains, and also in the Chazon Ish we see this, that that's true. If not for the pasuk from which we learn, as the Gemara will say, this halacha of the seven chakiris, we would say that that is Eidu Shati Yochel Azimah. They give a general date, and it's possible to come to Hazama, because perhaps the witnesses will come and say that you were with us that entire time. But from this pasuk, which teaches us the din of seven chakiris, from this we learned the extent of the exactitude that they have to have in their testimony, and the extent to which they have to bring themselves to the possibility of Hazama. That they have to make the Hazama easy to that extent, that not only are they saying the month, but they're also saying the specific date, and not only the specific day, but even the specific hour, to make it that easy for other witnesses to come and to testify against them and to make them into Edom Zayimim. So it's true that without these psukim, which teach us Sheva Chakiris, we would say that it's Edus, which could come to Hazama by saying a general time as well, but from these psukim that teach us the Sheva Chakiris, we learn that it has to be Edus Shatiyoch Lazimim to this extent. It has to be that easy for Hazama to take place. And if it's not, then we say that the Torah has told us that for Dinei Nefashos, at least, this is considered to be Eidu She'iyat Yochel HaZimen. That's not enough. They're not opened up enough for Hazama, and therefore the Eidus is disqualified. That's the explanation of the Aruch HaNer, and we see also in the Chazon Ish, in the Likutim Simen Chof Beis. Al Koponim, the Mishnah says, therefore, that for the Chakiris which establish the exact time and place, the answers must be given. Mashenkin, concerning the Bzikas, which are peripheral questions, there the answers don't have to be given, as long as they don't contradict one another. If they contradict one another, even in Bzikas, then we say that their Eidus is disqualified. Concerning the questions such as, which Avodah Zarah did he worship, and how did he worship the Avodah Zarah, we have learned that the Rambam says also that there the answers must be given, as the Lechem Mishnah explains, because those are integral to the testimony itself. Continues the Mishnah, if in answer to the question of Bekama B'chodesh, which date of the month did it take place? One of them said that it took place on the second day of the month, and one said that it took place on the third day of the month. Nonetheless, we say that their Eidus is upheld, because since everything else they said coincided, even the day of the week, we can explain this apparent contradiction by saying, we'll say that one of them knows that the previous month was a full month, was a month of 30 days, and therefore the day when the Avera took place was the second day of the new month, and the other one didn't know that the previous month was a full month, and therefore he thought that the same time was actually the third day of the new month. So we can resolve this contradiction, and since in everything else they coincided, we do so, and we say that it doesn't disqualify their testimony. However, if this one says that it took place on the third day of the month, and the other one says that it took place on the fifth of the month, then they do some betailas. Then we say their Eidus is disqualified, because we have no way of reconciling this contradiction. If there was a discrepancy of 1 hour in their answer to the question, in what hour did the Aveira took place, one said that it took place in the second hour of the day, and the other one said that it took place in the third hour of the day, then we say that their testimony is upheld, because this discrepancy can be accounted for by a slight mistake on their part, and it's not considered to be a contradiction. However, if one of them said that it took place in the third hour, and the other one said that it took place in the fifth hour, this is too large a discrepancy. Then we say that they're contradicting one another, and their Eidus is disqualified. Rabbi Yehuda says that even a discrepancy of 2 hours can be accounted for by some mistake, and therefore their Eidus is upheld.
However, Echad Omer B'chomesh Be'echad Omer B'sheva, if one of them said that it took place in the fifth hour of the day, and the other one said that it took place in the seventh hour in the day, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Eidusim B'teila, that their Eidus is disqualified, She'b'chomesh Chamba B'mizrach U'b'sheva Chamba B'mayrav, because in the fifth hour of the day, the sun is still in the east, but in the seventh hour of the day, the sun is already in the west, and therefore a person could not make such a mistake. This is considered to be a contradiction, and therefore the Eidus is disqualified. All these questions were asked to the first aid, one of the aidim by himself. Then they bring in the second aid, Uboitkin Oisei, and they ask him all of these questions as well. If their words coincide, in other words, if these witnesses answered all of the questions that they have to answer, and if in the bedikas they didn't contradict one another in any of the bedikas, their words coincide, then the next stage is Poischen Beschutz, that the Bezdin opens up, begins by pointing to the possibility of the defendant's innocence. And as Rashi brings from the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis, this means that the first thing they do is to address the defendant himself and to tell him that if you are not guilty, if you are innocent, you do not have to be afraid, that nothing will happen to you. So that is referred to as poischen b'schus. They address the defendant and they, so to speak, encourage him that if he is innocent, he has nothing to fear. Then they go into the stage of the masu matan, of the discussion of whether this person in fact is mechuyev misa based on the testimony of the witnesses, or whether for some reason there will be some kind of loophole, some kind of reason why he is not mechuyev misa. And the Mishnah tells us that besides the dayanim themselves, who of course each one could offer his opinion as to whether this person is mechuyev misa or not, says the Mishnah, Omar echad min ha'edim yesh l'lamid al v'skus. If one of the witnesses says that I have something to say in his favor, a reason why he is not mechuyev misa, oy echad min ha'talmidim yesh l'lamid al v'chayva, or one of the talmidim, this is referring to the rows of talmidim that were sitting before the 23 which comprised the Sanhedrin itself, mishat kanoise, then we silence him. So what the Mishnah is saying is, and this is learned by the Gemara before on Daf Lamed Dalet, that as far as the Edim are concerned, not only can any of the Edim be Melamed Chayva, they can't come up with a reason why he is guilty, but they can't even be Melamed Zchus. This is what is meant by the Mishnah by saying, Yeshu Lamed Alav Zchus, that even though one of the witnesses wants to be Melamed Zchus, ordinarily we're willing to listen to anyone who has a reason why he is not guilty, why he is innocent, nonetheless the Edim cannot, as the Gemara explains there, because we are afraid that they are not being impartial. Because since they testified to that which he had done, we're afraid that maybe they are having some kind of guilty conscience, and that's why they're saying what they are now and finding a reason why he is not guilty. Of course, this is not referring to actually changing their edus, but they are coming up with some reason, some kind of loophole or reason why he is not mechuyev misa, and this is improper for the edim to do. So we don't accept the words of the edim, we don't listen to them, even if they are being milamed zchus. But in this case of one of the talmidim, if he says, if one of the Talmidim comes up with a reason why this person is in fact Mechuyev Misa, they want to be Melamed Chayva, Mishat Kanoise, we silence him because we don't listen to anyone but the Dayanim themselves to be Melamed Chayva, to give a reason why the person is guilty. However, Omar Echad Min HaTalmidim Yesh L'Lamed Olav Zchus, Malin Oisai, Umeshivin Oisai Beineihem. If one of the Talmidim said that I have a reason why he is innocent, I have a reason why he's not Mechuyev Misa, then we bring him up and we sit them down amongst them, amongst the Dayanim. In other words, before he is sitting on the floor with the Talmidim before the Dayanim, they bring him up and they sit him down on the bench of the Dayanim, and he did not go down from there for the entire day. The Gemara explains that this means even if that which he found, that which he said, was found not to have any substance to it, it wasn't something which could actually affect the din in any way, nonetheless, in order not to embarrass him, he sits there for the entire day. If there is substance to that which he is saying is something which may affect the final outcome of the din, then of course we listen to him and we discuss that reason which he has suggested for this person's innocence. And the Gemara says, it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, that if there is yesh mamish bedvarav, if we find that that which he suggested, this Talmud suggested, has substance to it, then he remains there, so to speak, as a reward. He is promoted and remains, leaves the sitting of the Talmidim and will always remain sitting on the benches of the Dayanim. He doesn't actually become one of the Dayanim, but he will sit on the benches of the Dayanim from then on. It's only if there is not mamish bedvarav, if it is found not to have substance, then we say that in order not to embarrass him, he remains there for the remainder of the day. Says the Mishnah of Afilu Hu Aymer Yesh L'Lamed Al Atzmi Zchus Shoymeloi. Even if the defendant himself says that I have something to say in my own favor, I have a reason why I am innocent, and he can have some kind of reason, he can't contradict the witnesses, but he can say that perhaps he wasn't a complete mazid, maybe there was something wrong with the Hasra, maybe it was done in a way which would not actually be Mechayev him Misa, then we listen to him. Ubuvat Sheyesh Mamish Bidvarav. As long as there is some substance to that which he is saying. If he's merely giving excuses, something that can't have any bearing on the din, then we don't listen to him. But if he's saying some kind of real reason, something that has substance to it as to why he should be innocent and not Mechuyev Misa, then we listen to him and we discuss his words. So Al Kaporim, the Dayanim themselves, of course, can offer their opinion whether it be L'Zchus or L'Chayva. But anyone other than the Dayanim, we only listen to if he is offering a reason for Zchus. We don't listen to anyone else, including the Talmidim, if it is for Chayva. And as far as the Edim are concerned, we don't listen to them, to any of them, even for Zchus. That is the Maskan of what the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Dalet. This is learned from Psukim. Continues the mission of Im Motzulai Zchus. If they found a Zchus for this defendant, they found a reason, some kind of loophole, that he is not Mechuyev Misa, Patruhu, then they free him, they send him away immediately. In other words, in order to paskin zchus, in order to paskin innocence, halonis hadin is not required. We don't have to wait until tomorrow. If they find a reason why he is innocent and a majority of the Bezdin decides that he is innocent, then they can paskin right now that he is innocent and set him free immediately. The Imlav, if they did not find a schus, if a majority of the Bezdin feels that he is guilty, they are unable to paskin immediately. Rather, ma'avirin oisoi lemocha, they push it off until the next day. As the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Daled, there is halacha of halonas hadin, of letting the din wait until the next day overnight, so that those who decided that he isn't chuyav misa should have a chance to think it over. Perhaps there will be some reason that they will think of why, in fact, he is not mechuyav misa. So to give a verdict of innocence can be done immediately, but to give a verdict of guilt, we have to wait until the next day to give a chance to think it over. In the meantime, umizdavkin zugois zugois. They would pair up in pairs, so to speak, each one with a chavrusa, to discuss the case, to point out the reasons why perhaps this person is either guilty or innocent. And for the rest of the day, they would minimize eating, and they wouldn't drink wine for the rest of the day, so that they should have clarity of mind. And they would delve into this through the entire night. Rashi learns Pshat that first they would do this in pairs, and then each one would go to his own home and sit himself and think things over for the entire night. The Rambam writes that it means either each one by himself, or perhaps with his chavrusa, would delve into the question of this person's guilt or innocence through the entire night. Ulamachras mashkimenu boyin lebezdin. And the next morning, they would come early to Bezdin to continue the discussion of whether this person is guilty or innocent. Hamazaka oimer, the one who was mazaka yesterday, the one who yesterday offered a reason for the person's innocence, he says, ani mazaka, I was mazaka yesterday, umazaka ani bimkoimi, and I am still mazaka. I still say that this person is innocent for the following reason. And as the Mishnah will say, he has to still say that the person is innocent, because even if he changed his mind, now at the time of the Masa Matan, the time when the discussion is still going on, he is not allowed to now change positions and be one of the persons who is presenting the case for his guilt. He has to still present the case for his innocence. The Hamachayev Oimer, the one who was Mechayev yesterday, the one who yesterday gave reasons and said that he holds that this person is guilty, he says the next day, ani mechayev, I was mechayev yesterday, umechayev ani bimkoymei, and I am still mechayev, I still believe that this person is guilty for the same reason. Hamalami choyva melamed chutz, halacha is that the person who the day before was melamed choyva, he then gave a reason why the person is guilty and said that he holds that the person is guilty, he can the next day change his mind to be melamed chutz, he can change sides and say that now he believes that he's innocent for the following reason. But the person who on the previous day was melamed chutz, he said that he believes that the person is innocent for a certain reason, he can't now change sides on this day and say that he now believes that the person is guilty. However, according to the maskana of the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Daled, this is only at the time of the Masa Umatan. This is only while they are still discussing it. But when they come to the final count, even the person who at one time proclaimed that he believes that this person is innocent can in fact change his mind and say that the person is guilty. So at the time of the final count, each one says that which he definitely believes at that point. However, now when they are still discussing it, then the one who yesterday represented his innocence still has to represent his innocence. It's only the person who represented his guilt yesterday can change sides and now represent his innocence. So, Ubedover, if they made some kind of mistake, each one gets up and declares that yesterday, either I was mezakeh yesterday or I was mechayev yesterday for this and this reason. If they made a mistake, then shnei soifrei hadayonim mazkirinoise, then the two scribes of the dayonim remind them. So if they made a mistake, for example, if the person who was mezakeh in fact yesterday says I was mechayev yesterday, then he has to remind him that it's not so. You were mezakeh yesterday, and therefore you have to be mezakeh today as well. Or even if he was mechayev yesterday, although he can change his mind, but we have to know what his reasons were. The shnei soifrei hadayonim used to write not only who was mezakeh and who was mechayev, but the reasons as well. Because if the person who was mechayev yesterday is mechayev today for a different reason, then this new reason would require halana sadin. We can't pass him today on a new reason. We'd have to wait for it overnight. Maybe he'll find some reason why it's not correct. So it's important to know the reasons. And also, as the Gemara says over there in the Talmud Daled, it's important to know the reasons because that if two people are either mezakeh or mechayev for the same reason, however, each one gives a different source from a different pasuk, then we say that this only counts as one, because they are bringing their source from a different pasuk, as the Gemara explains over there, and therefore it's important to know what the reasons are. So therefore, if they made a mistake in whether they were mezakeh or mechayev, or what the reason was, the Sofrei Hadayonim remind them. Continues the Mishnah, Im motzu lo yischus, patruhu, again on this second day of their discussion, if they found a schus, if they now agreed on a schus, the reason why he is not mechuyev misa, then they would free him immediately. Ve'im lav, but if they didn't find a schus on the second day, they already had halona sadin on these reasons for him to be mechuyev misa from the previous day, and today they are ready to make the gemar din to actually come and bring about the psak, oim din the minyan, then they stand up to be counted for the final count as to his guilt or innocence. Now the halacha is, as we learned before, that there is a difference between the majority needed for schus, for finding him innocent, to bring out a psak of innocence, or the majority which is needed to find him guilty. To find him innocent, a majority of one is enough. But to find him guilty, a majority of one is not enough. We require a majority of more than one. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Masar Mezaken Ve'achadasar Mechayim. We're of course dealing with a bezin of Chof Gimel of 23. If 12 say that he is innocent, and 11 say that he is Mechuyev Zakai, then the Psak Bezdin is that he is Zakai, that he is innocent, because a majority of one is enough to Paskin L'schus. If, however, 12 say that he is Chayev Misa, and 11 say that he is innocent, then in that case we only have a majority of one for his guilt, and that is not enough to Paskin his guilt. So therefore, Bezdin cannot give out a final Psak in this way. Even if there are 11 who are saying that he is innocent, and 11 who are saying that he is Mechuyev, and one says, any day, in this case also, there is no final psak because we don't have a clear majority. We won't have a majority at all. So Taisus Yontif explains the word afilu, afilu achadasar mezaken, that this means to say that I would think that since this last person, this 23rd person, is saying any day, and there are in any case 11 who are saying that he is innocent, let's join him to the ones who are saying innocent and consider it to be a roiv. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says that this is not so. We can't make a psak that he is innocent because we don't have a majority that this is so. Even if 22 are saying, either they are all saying that he is innocent, or they are all saying that he is guilty, and one says, one of the 23 says that he doesn't know, in any of these three cases, Yosifu HaDayonim, then we add on Dayonim to the Bezdin in order to try to come to a final Psak. In this last case, even though there are 22 who are saying one thing, and this person who is saying any Yodea, if he would say against the 22, we would be able to pass on the Halacha either way like the 22, but since he says any Yodea, he doesn't count as one of the 23 Dayonim. And therefore we can't give out a Psak, because Dinei Nefoshes has to have 23 Dayonim. This one who was saying any day, he's not offering an opinion. Whether he is innocent or guilty does not count as one of the Dayonim, he's command lesser, and therefore it's considered to be that we only have a Bezin of 22, and therefore we can't pass it. So in any of these three cases, we have to add on Dayonim to this Bezin of 22 in order to attempt to come to a final Psak. Even though we could say that we could free him right now because we don't have a psak to his guilt, we don't do so because Bezdin attempts to have a final psak either for his guilt or for his innocence. Bekama meisifin, how much do we add? How many dayonim do we add? Shnayim shnayim, two at a time. We add two, and we attempt by adding those two to make the count again and to come to a final psak. But if, however, those two are also split, then it won't affect the final psak, and we keep going ad shivin ve'echad until we come to a maximum of shivin ve'echad. But we never make a bezin of more than 71. That's the maximum that we will add on. And we always add on in pairs, even though, as the Ran points out, in the last case, where in any case there is a majority, and there's only one who is saying any Yudea, it's 22 who are of one opinion, and the other one is saying any Yudea, but we should say that we only have to replace him with one more. Nonetheless, the halacha is that we only add on in pairs. And we go to a maximum of 71. When we finally get to 71, it is Shloishim v'shisha mezakin u'shloishim v'chamisha mechayvin. There are 36 who are saying that he's innocent, 35 who are saying that he is guilty. Zakai, then Bezin can issue a psak that he is innocent because a majority of one is enough for a psak of zchut. However, if it's Shloishim v'shisha mechayvin u'shloishim v'chamisha mezakin, then we have only a majority of one for guilt. This is not enough to paskin that he is mechuyev misa. So theoretically, Bezin could end right there and leave it without a psak, and he would automatically be innocent, but we don't do so. We attempt to bring a final psak, that Bezin attempts to have a final psak, either of guilt or innocence. So Don and Elu Keneged Elu, they are done, they discuss with one another, each one trying to convince the other one, until one of these Mechayvin will change his mind and agree with the Mezaken, and therefore vote that in fact this person is innocent. So then it will be a majority of 36 against 35 for his innocence. And if we have a majority of one for his innocence, we can pass him with a final Psak Bezdin that he is Zakai, that he is innocent. Now as Rashi points out, according to the Maskon of the Gemara and Daf Lamed Daled, that a person who at one point was Mezaka can only not change his mind and be Mechayev during the discussion of Bezin, but in the final case, he too can change his mind. If he changes his mind, he can then be one of the voices who is saying that this person is guilty. Then the Mishnah could have said also that they are dan elu keneged elu until one of the mezakin will change his mind and will then be mechayev, in which case we'll have a majority of more than one and we will be able to paskin that he is mechuyev misa. So Rashi says this is true. Either possibility can be. We want to come up with a psak din and we will try for the two sides to convince one another, and either thing can take place. Either one of the mechayevim will change his mind to be mezaka, or one of the mezakin will change his mind to be mechayev, in which case we'll come up with a final psak bezdin. But the Mishnah would rather say this case that one of the mechayevim will change his mind and be a mezaka, because the Mishnah would rather say that it ends in schus. But akapanim the din will be ena chinami, that either could take place. If we have 36 mechayvim and 35 mezakim, if one of the mezakim changes his mind, we will then have enough of a majority of mechayvim to be mechayvim misa. Or if, as the Mishnah says, if one of the mechayvim will change his mind, then we'll have a majority of one on the side of the mezakim, and we'll be able to come up with a final psak that he is zakai. Says the Gemara, Minohani Mili, how do we know this halacha that we need 7 chakiris? Now, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Oruch Lener explains that although we know that there is a halacha, it's mentioned several times in Shas, of Eidus Shi'at HaYochol HaZimah, that for an Eidus to be acceptable, it has to be theoretically possible for them to become Eidim Zoymim, that witnesses should be able to come and say that you can't say this testimony because you were with us someplace else, and that they should become a Chuy of the Oynus of Kasher Zoma. So the Mishnah, we learned, as Rashi quotes from the Gemara, that if they don't answer the questions of the Chakirat, they don't pinpoint the time and place, then it's Eidus Shi'at HaYochol HaZimah, because they're not saying when and where it took place, and therefore witnesses won't be able to come and say, Imano Yisem, that at that time and place you were with us someplace else. So why does the Gemara ask me, Nohani Mili, how do we know this halacha of the 7 Chakirat? We need the 7 Chakirat so that they should tell us what time and where this Aveira took place, where their testimony is, so that we should be possible for them to come to become Eidim Zoymim. So the Oracle there explains, based on Rashi and Psochim Daf Yud Beis, the Gramachul, the Havalei Eidus, that without, the Gemara is asking, how do we know that we need these 7 Chakiris? Without these Psukim, which teach us the 7 Chakiris, of course I know there's Halacha of Eidus Shi'at HaYochol HaZimah, that's not acceptable. But I don't know that they have to pinpoint the time to that extent, that they have to work from a general time to a lesser time to a more exact time until they come to the actual hour about which they are testifying. I would say that if they say, for example, which month it took place, that is enough, because theoretically other witnesses can come and say that in that entire month you were someplace else and you can't say this testimony. So the halacha that it has to be pinpointed to this extent through the Sheva Chakiris, that is the chiddush of the din of Sheva Chakiris, and it is on that that the Gemara is asking, Minohani Mili. Even though it's true that once we do learn this halacha of Sheva Chakiris, it's telling us the halacha that in order for Dinei Nefoshes to be considered Eidus She'at HaYochol LaHazimah, that which we could be Mekayim Dinei Hazama, that it has to be pinpointed to that point, and if it isn't, if they don't go through all the 7 Chakiris, and it's not pinpointed to the exact hour about which they are testifying, if they say any Yedeya, then in Chanami, we say that it is considered to be, because of this limud that we need the 7 Chakiris, Eidus She'at HaYochol LaHazimah. So without the limud of the 7 Chakiris, we would say that a general time would suffice. The Gemara is asking, you know, immediately, because we see from the Mishnah that we have to have all 7 Chakiris, that a general time is not enough. They have to say an exact time, and only then is it considered to be Eidus She'at HaYochol HaZimah and acceptable. So the Gemara asked me, Nohan Emili, how do we know this halacha of the Sheva Chakiris? Omer Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, the Yom HaKrov, because it says in the Pasuk, V'derashto v'chakarto v'sha'al tehetem. Now this is a Pasuk concerning Ir HaNidachas. So it says, V'derashto v'chakarto. Now these words mean Drisha v'chakira. This means interrogating, asking in great detail. So those tell us dinam of chakira. And the word v'sha'alta heitev, that phrase together, also means interrogation, means chakira. The word sha'alta itself just means to ask. It doesn't mean chakira. But v'sha'alta heitev, to ask well, that means chakira. So in this pasuk of Ir Nidachas are merumas 3 chakiras. Drisha, chakira, sha'alta heitev. That is 3 chakiras. V'omer, and it says in a pasuk concerning an individual who worships Avodah Zarah, v'hugu l'cho v'shamata, v'derashto heitev. So v'derashto alone would mean drisha, would mean interrogation, and then the word heitev is telling us another chakira, so that's another 2. V'omer, and it says a third pasuk concerning einim zayimim, where it says nefesh tachas nefesh, that they are killed, if they wanted to kill the defendant, v'dorshu hashoitim heitev, that the shoitim should inquire well. So v'dorshu again is drisha, and heitev is an additional word to tell us another drisha. So this is a total of 7. V'derashto v'chakarto v'sha'alta heitev is 3, v'derashto heitev is another 2, and v'dorshu heitev is another 2. Omid Beis, the Gemara asks, v'eimo chodo chodo kidechsiva. How do we know that we are to add up all these words that are written in these 3 different chiyuvei misa and add them up to 7 to learn that we need 7 chakiris? Let's say that each one of these only needs the amount of chakiras which it says in its own pasuk. In other words, ira hanidachas would need 3, oved avodah zarah needs 2 chakiras, and eidim zayim need 2 chakiras. Because if not, if you'll say that we are to add them up and make them into 7, why didn't it write all 7? Why didn't the Torah write all 7 in one, and we learn from the other one? The Gemara answers, since they are all written together, they are learned from one another. Now Rashi explains the lashon of that they are all written together. It's labdafa, they're not really written together, but it means that all these three are expressing the same idea, that risha v'chakira are necessary. So therefore, they're yalfi me'adodi, they can be learned from me'adodi yalfi, they can be learned from one another. V'kivin yalfi me'adodi, k'man d'chsiv v'chadadami, since they are learned from one another, it is as if they would all be written together in one. Because since these three can be learned from one another, because each one of these is expressing the need for drisha v'chakira, so therefore whatever it says in each of them is to be applied to the other ones as well. So therefore we can add them up to 7. So that's only based on the assumption that one could be learned from the other one. The Gemara asks, "V'holei dami l'hadodi, they're not similar to one another. It's not true that the halacha of drisha could be learned one from the other. In each of them there is a pircha. And therefore, we should say that each pasuk is telling us the din of drisha v'chakira about this particular chiyuv misa, and therefore apply only those that amount of drisha v'chakiras which are written in its own inyan. The Gemara says what the pirchas are. Now, yes. The Gemara treats the need for drisha v'chakira as a kula for the defendant, because it is more difficult to convict him of his crime and to actually be mechayev him misa, because we need drisha v'chakira of the witnesses. So this is considered to be a kula for the defendant, and therefore if we find that the aveira that he did and the oinish which he is mechuyev, the punishment which he is mechuyev, is very severe, is more severe, then we say that we can't know, that we still require the drisha v'chakira of the witnesses, that we apply this kula towards the defendant of requiring the drisha v'chakira of the witnesses. So the Gemara says, ira nidachas lahanas tarta lidamya, that ira nidachas can't be compared to the other two of Avodah Zarah and Eidim Zayimim, shekein mamoinon polit, because those two are not as chomer as ira nidachas, in that their mammon, their money is saved. Nothing happens to their mammon. The person is killed, but his money goes on to his yorshim. Mashenkin in ira nidachas, where not only are the people killed, but the money is also gathered together and destroyed, it is burnt. So therefore, ira nidachas is more chomer. So I would say that we don't require drisha v'chakira, that we don't apply this kula towards the defendant of drisha v'chakira of the Eidim. Avodah Zarah, l'hanach tarti l'damya, Avodah Zarah is not the same as the other two, as Eidim Zoyimimin and as ira nidachas. She came beside, because those other two, ira nidachas and Eidim Zoyimimin, they are killed with saif, with the sword, Mashenkin Avodah Zarah, where the death is skila, which is considered to be the most chomer of the four misas bezin. Therefore, since it's more chomer, I would say that we don't apply this kula of drisha v'chakira of the witnesses. Now Rashi explains that, of course, ira nidachas, the people are put to death with the sword, but Eidim Zoyimimin, the halacha is that whatever they attempted to convict the defendant of, that is a punishment which is inflicted upon them. So in fact, if they wanted to be mechayev someone skila, for example, for Chil Shabbos, then they will be killed with skila. So what does the Gemara mean by saying shekein b'sayef, that the death of Eidim Zoyimimin is with the sword? So Rashi says two pshatim, either because the parsha itself, which says nefesh b'nefesh, is speaking about a case where they testified against someone who, that he killed someone else, that he was a ritzeah, and that therefore he is to be put to death with the sword, and they too are to be put to death with the sword. Rashi brings another pshat, and this is the pshat that Tosfos prefers, because he says we don't see from the parsha that it's speaking necessarily about a ritzeah, rather, that since, however, sometimes the Eidim Zoyimim are put to death with the sword, it's not like Avodah Zarah, where he is always put to death with skila, and therefore it is considered to be more chomer. So I could say that Avodah Zarah, where the death is always skila, as opposed to Eidim Zoyimim, where it's sometimes with the sword, with the less chomer of the Arba Mises Bezdin, and certainly not like Ira Nidachas, where it's always with the sword, I would say that the Ovid of Avodah Zarah is more chomer, and therefore we don't apply this kula of requiring drisha v'chakira of the Eidim. Eidim Zoyimim, l'hanach tarti l'idamya, Eidim Zoyimim can't be compared to the other two, to Avodah Zarah and Ira Nidachas, shekein tzrichim hatzra, because those other two, in order to be mechayev misa, we have to have hatzra, we have to have the din of warning him at the time that he does the avera, otherwise he won't be mechuyev misa. Mashenkin, as the Gemara Ksuvis and Daplamet Gimel says, by Eidim Zoyimim, we say that they are mechuyev even if there was no hatzra, because just as they wanted to be mechayev the defendant without any hatzra, because in fact everything they were saying was a lie, there wasn't any avera, there wasn't any hatzra either, then they too are killed because of kasha zomim without hatzra. So this is the chumrim Eidim Zoyimim. So I would say that this kula of drisha v'chakira of the Eidim does not apply. So akoponim, each one of these has a pircha. Therefore, it has to say the din of drisha v'chakira in each one of them, and they don't learn from one another. And I should say that we only apply to each one the amount of Drishas v'Chakiras that it says in its own halacha. The Gemara answers, "Behetiv heitiv yalfin and mehadadi." That we learn it from Gzeiras Shavah, not from a Mamatzinu, but Gzeiras Shavah, because in each of these it says the word heitiv. So since it says the word heitiv in each, and we learn Gzeiras Shavah, we can add up all the Drishas v'Chakiras to the number of 7 Drishas v'Chakiras. The Gemara says Gzeiras Shavah mufta. We must say that this is Gzeiras Shavah, which is based on extra words, not Gzeiras Shavah, which is not based on extra words, but merely on the similarity of words. The Eloi Mufna, Ikal Mifra, because if it's not Mufna, if it's not based on extra words, then we can ask the Pirchas that we asked before, and we wouldn't be able to learn from one another. Says the Gemara, La'ayah, where are you going? If Nuye Mufna, in fact, it is Mufna. This Gzeiras Shavah is based on extra words. The word Heitiv is considered to be extra to teach us the Gzeiras Shavah. Midahavale, Le Michtav, Vidorshu V'chokru. Since if the Torah wants to express two Chakiris, it shouldn't have said Vidorash to Heitiv or Dorshu Ashoifim Heitiv as it does by Avodah Zarah and Adam Zaimimim. It should have said Vidorshu Heitiv or Vidorash to Heitiv. That would be the more normal way for the Torah to express it. V'shani krobe dibure behetiv, and the Torah changed by using the word hetiv, by saying v'darshu hetiv, and that way adding on another chakira. Shmamino lafnuya, from this I understand that this is to treat this word as something special, something extra to teach us Gzeiras Shavah. It's not really extra because it's teaching us the need for another drisha v'chakira, but nonetheless, since it is an unusual word, to teach us two chakiras, it should have said v'darshu v'chakru, and it says v'darshu heitiv, both by Avodah Zarah and by Adam Zayman. Therefore, this is considered to be a change, something extra, a special word to teach us Gzeiras Shavah, and therefore we don't ask these pirs. The Gemara asks, "Vakati mufta mitzadechu." It's only mufta mitzadechu. It's only an extra word, a special word on one side of the Gzeiras Shavah. But one of these objects of the Gzeiras Shavah, the word is not extra. The Gemara explains, "Bishloi mahanech tarte bishloi." Those two Avodah Zarah and Adam Zayim in there mufnehu. There, this word heitiv is considered to be something extra, something special, on which you can base the Gzeiras Shavah. Mishum dahavale lemichtav, because it should have written of v'darshu v'chokru, and instead of saying v'darshu v'chokru, it says v'darshu heitiv, v'darshu ashoitim heitiv. It uses the word heitiv, which is considered to be unusual, and therefore this is considered to be mufnif for Gzeiras Shavah. El irhani dachas mayhavale lemichtav. In the case of irhani dachas, where over there it says 3 drishas v'chakiris, what should it have written? Hoksiva kulu. It says every possibility. It says the derashta v'chakarta v'shaalta heitiv. So it says derashta v'chakarta. It uses those words, and then it says v'shaalta heitiv to express the third chakira. So how can you say that this is an unusual way of expressing another chakira? It already used the words v'derashta v'chakarta. So therefore, this is not considered to be mufna. And we know that if a Gzeiras Shavah is not mufna from all its sides, that some manda omrim hold that still we can ask a pircha. The Gemara says hosam nami afnuya mufna. That in the case of Adam Zayman, it's also considered to be extra, something special for the drasha. Midahavali lemichtav deroish tidroish oy chakor tachkor. It could have repeated one of these words, drisha or chakira, in the pasuk in order to express 3 drishas v'chakiras. V'shani kro b'dibure, and the Torah wrote it in an unusual way by adding the word heitiv, v'sha'alta heitiv. Shmamino lafnui. So from this I can learn that this is lafnui. This is to treat it as an extra word on which to base Gzeiras Shavah. In other words, it could have said in the pasuk v'doroish derashta v'chakarta, or v'derashto v'chakor chakarta, and instead it says v'derashto v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitiv, again using the word heitiv to express another chakira. So this is considered to be something, a change, which can then be used as a basis for the Gzeiras Shavah. So now we know that there is a Gzeiras Shavah of heitiv between these 3 psukim where it says drisha v'chakira. Therefore, one is learned from the other. It's as if all 7 drishas v'chakiras would be written together. Therefore, we learn that there is a need for sheva chakira. Now the Gemara goes on to explain how we know that this halacha of drisha v'chakira is to be applied to every chiyuv misa in the Torah. We have it written by these 3 chiyuv misa of Avodah Zarah, Yerei Dachas, and Edom Zayimimin. And the Gemara understands that we can learn from this chiyuv misa which are similar to them, which is either skila as the case of Avodah Zarah, or sayat as the case of Yerei Dachas, and as the Gemara considered Adam Zayimim to be. The Gemara asks, what about other Chiyuv Misa? Says the Gemara, V'yosu nechnokin v'kal v'choymer. We'll learn those Chiyuv Misa of chenek, where the person is choked. That's considered to be the least chomer of the Arba Misa's Bezdin. We'll learn it v'kal v'choymer of miniskolin u'minaherogin, from niskolin, from the person who's put to death by skila, or the one who's put to death by sayeth, as in these cases. We can learn a kal v'choymer, because if we say concerning skila and herek, the person who is killed either by skila or by the sword, that we require drisha v'chakira of the Edom, that we are makel on the defendant, certainly will we make on the defendant in the case where he's only mechuyev chenek, which is the lesser of the arba misas bezdin. The also nisrofen b'kal v'choymer miniskolim, and we'll learn a person who's mechuyev the misa of treif, of being burnt by having molten metal poured down his throat. We can learn that from, at least from Niskalim, because it is considered to be the most chomer after Niskalim, but it is less chomer than Niskalim, and therefore if we see by Niskalim, in the case of Avodah Zarah, that we require Drisha v'Chakira, then certainly we require it of Nisrafim. Says the Gemara, Hanichal Rabbana, the Amri Skila Chamura. That's good according to the Rabbanan, who say that Skila is considered to be the most Chomer of the four Mises Bezdin. Elu Rabbi Shimon, the Omer Treifa Chamura, Maikal Member. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that Treifa is the most Chomer of the Arba Mises Bezdin, what will you then say? How can you learn that Nisrafim, that we require Drisha B'Chakira of the Edim, and we are Maikal Amzid Bezdin? We only find here that by Niskalim, in a case of Avodah Zarah, that would require Drisha V'Chakira. Perhaps that's because Niskalim are not as Chomer as Nisrafim. And by Nisrafim, I would say maybe we don't need Drisha V'Chakira of the witnesses, that we are more Machmer on the defendant. Elo Omer Rav Yehuda, rather Rav Yehuda says he brings in another four words which teach us another four times Drisha V'Chakira. It says also, in the case of both Avodah Zarah and the case of Gir HaNidachas, V'hine Emes Nochen, it says V'hine Emes, it is true, Nochen and correct. And it says, as we mentioned twice, by Avodah Zarah and by Ir HaNidachas. V'hine emes nochen hochatzeh, if we add up the words emes nochen, that's two, and it says it twice, that's another four. So we have then 11 words which are teaching us Drisha v'chakira, the previous seven, and these additional four. So he says, sheva l'sheva chakira, seven will teach us the seven chakiras. Dal plas l'gzeirah sheva, take off another three to teach us l'gzeirah sheva between these three, Avodah Zarah, Edom Zoymimim, and Ir HaNidachas. So we won't have to learn it from the change of the word of hate, but rather from three extra words. Toshaluhu Chada, then we have one additional, one extra word. L'Rav Shimon, L'Asuyah, Nisrafin. According to Rav Shimon, this is coming to teach us that this halach of Drisha V'Chakira is not applies only to these Mises, but to Nisrafim as well, even though it's a Misa Chamura, it is a worse Misa. L'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, we don't need this, because from this column we can know Nisrafim, since this column is worse than Nisrafin. We say that something which we could actually know from a Kalb HaChomer, sometimes the Pasuk nonetheless bothers to write, in any case, that it should be written in the Torah, and not only learned from a Kalb HaChomer. Megadith for Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo attacked this. Megadith literally means to curse, to blaspheme. In other words, he attacked this. Eimel Asuya Shmoina Chakiris. If you're saying that there are actually 11 words, you're saying that 7 come for Chakiris, and that therefore we end up with the next word to teach us Nisrafim. Let's say that from this we should learn that there 8 Chakiris are acquired. The Gemara says, "Ushmoina chakiras mi'iko." Are then 8 chakiras, 8 possible questions that we can ask? We've already brought him to the point where he pinpointed his testimony to the exact hour, Eza Shah. What more can we ask? So the Gemara says, "Alam aloi." Why not? There is an additional question that we can ask. "Behoiko lasuye bekama b'shah." We could ask him an 8th question: at what part of the hour did this take place? At the beginning, at the end, the middle of the hour, the first third of the hour? We can have him pinpointed even within the hour. The Tanya Nami Yochan, he actually learned a brisa that way. That they asked him 8 questions. So apparently the brisa learns that we do ask him this 8th question. Says the Gemara, Honi Chalabaya. This possibility of asking him an 8th question would be good according to Abaya, Aliba de Rabbi Meir, according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, the Omar Ein Odom Toyev Alei Klum, who interprets Rabbi Meir's Shita that it means that a person doesn't make a mistake in the time at all. This is a reference to the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Yud Aleph, which is speaking about the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir holds that if one said that it took place in the second hour and the other said that it took place in the third hour, we say that their edus is kayemis. But if one said in the third hour and one said in the fifth, then we say that he do some betela. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if one said that it took place in the third hour and one said that it took place in the fifth hour, it is a do some kayemis. We say that this is not necessarily a contradiction. So there in the Gemara, there are 3 interpretations of this machloikis: 2 lashonos of Abaya and 1 of Rava. 2 lashonos of Abaya are, the first one, that according to Rabbi Meir, a person does not make a mistake at all in the time. Rather, the reason why if one said it took place in the second hour and the other in the third, the reason it's a dusan kayemis is because we say that probably what happened was it happened exactly at the end of the second, the beginning of the third. So he's referring to that as the second hour, and he's referring to it as the third hour, but actually it is not a contradiction, but not because a person makes a mistake. And that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a person makes a mistake of up to a half an hour. Therefore, we say that if one said in the third hour and one said in the fifth, we say that really it took place exactly at 4.5 hours in the day, and this he called the third hour because he meant the end of the third hour, which is a half hour before, and the other one referred to it as the fifth hour because that's a half hour later. So that's what they mean, because they can make a mistake of up to a half an hour. The other version of Abaya is that according to Rav Meir, a person makes a mistake of a mashahu, and therefore we say that if one said the second hour, one said the third hour, we say that really it took place towards the end of the second hour, for example, and he is being exact in saying the second hour, and the other one says the third hour is making a slight mistake. According to Rav Yehuda, a person makes a mistake of up to an hour and a mashahu, and therefore even if one said third hour and one said the fifth hour, we say that really it took place at the end of the third hour, and one is being exact, and the other one is making a mistake and saying the fifth hour because he is making a mistake of an hour and a mashahu. Rava disagrees with both these lashonos of Abaya and says that why should we reinterpret their words in order to make their edus bikayemis and to convict the defendant? Rather, he says that the reasoning of Rabbi Meir of Yehuda is that Rabbi Meir holds that if one says in the second hour and one said in the third hour, it's edus and kayemis, because even if he means at the beginning of the second and the other one means the end of the third, it's still possible that they are making a mistake, because a person can make a mistake of up to a mashahu less than 2 hours. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if one said in the third hour and one said the fifth, it's edus and kayemis, because even if he means the beginning of the third and he means the end of the fifth, a person can make a mistake of up to 3 hours minus a mashahu. So that is the interpretations of the machoikas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara here, honi chalabaya, it's good that which we learn that we can ask an additional chakira of what part of the hour it took place according to Abaya, Liba de Rabbi Meir, de Omar Einodim Toyevalei Klum, that says that a person doesn't make a mistake at all. It makes sense that we should ask him exactly what time, what part of the hour it took place. According to the other lashon, which says that a person makes a mistake of a mashu, it also makes sense that we should ask him exactly at what time it took place. According to that shita, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a person makes a mistake of a half an hour. Ulurova the Omar Tov in Shituva, who says that a person makes a mistake of even a larger amount of time, both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'ika Lememer, what's the point of asking him an additional chakira, what part of the hour it took place? Since in any case, if Adam then come and say that they were with him at that particular time, we will be able to reconcile that which they said with that which the Adam are saying, and they won't be Adim Zoymimim. Ella, rather the suggestion of Rabbi Yavo that we make 8 chakiris, and the pshat in the Brisa which says that we make 3 chakiris, lasuyev become a biyoyvel, to include also asking him what part of the yoyvel. The Gemara asks, Hainu be'ez a shavua, that's the same as the first chakira, which shmita cycle of the yoyvel. That means which part of the yoyvel. Ella lasuyev be'ez a yoyvel. It comes to include also that we first ask the basic question, which yoyvel cycle, which 50-year yoyvel cycle did it take place in. Therefore, we have 8 chakiris. First, we ask which yoyvel, and then we ask which shmita cycle of the Yoivel, the Ida, and the other Mandiyomar. The Mandiyomar says that we only learn 7 Chakiras, we don't learn an 8th Chakir, even though we have a Pasuk for it, and rather we learn it to teach us the Halacha of Nisrafin, Kivan the Omar Be'ezah Shavua, Leboy Be'ezah Yoivel. Since he said already which Shemitah cycle of the Yoivel it takes place, there's no point in asking him in which Yoivel it took place, because ordinarily a person is speaking about the present Yoivel and not speaking about 50 years before. So this question ordinarily does not have to be asked, and therefore this is not included in the Chakiras.